their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you, if you're a new listener or relatively new, perhaps you do not recognize or understand the format of Let's Face the Issues. The format of Let's Face the Issues is Q&A. We set the stage, we ask the questions, we give the information, and invite you to call in. Join in the dialogue and discussion. Ask your question. You can politely disagree if you like. We always like to have both sides of the coin. We love to have your comments and discussion today. We're talking about an issue today that I believe needs to be an overlapping overview of what we see taking place on a national level. We are watching multiple facets of things taking place, but may I say the key that we need to ask the question, morality and ethics in government, question mark, or should I put it this way, should we have morality and ethics and values in government? Is that too much to ask? Is that something that we should or should not do? Ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, God created the home, government, and the church, and in that order. So everything that we discuss, by the way, God's word doesn't call it politics. It's civil government. We'll look at the scripture and understand the way God created civil government was set up to punish evil and to protect good. Civil government was set up, according to Romans chapter 13, as a servant, slave servant of God. God set up civil, hear me again. God established civil government to be a servant to God. And when we have civil government employees, i.e. political employees and agencies, when they forget that they're answerable to God as a servant of God, when they forget that they're answerable not only to God, but to we the people that place them there, based on our Constitution, ladies and gentlemen, we have multitudes today in civil government, political life, and many of the agencies that's now being cleaned up. Cleaned up, we'll talk about that in a minute, that has somehow have the attitude that we're not answerable to the people. We're not answerable to the president, the executive branch of civil government. So may I say, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, morality and ethics and values in civil government, is that something we should ascribe to? Is that something we should adhere to? Is that something we should look to and try to carry out based on God's plan? What should we do? Ezekiel 33:10 asks the question, how should we then live? When you look at Ezekiel chapter 33, we recognize that God places some in position and in responsibility of being the watchman on the wall to warn, danger ahead, danger ahead. And that's what we've attempted to do for many, many, many years on this broadcast each and every day. And as we do so, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I like to call it the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus points out very clearly, it's a declaratory statement, in the scripture. Thy word is truth. And in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. I understand there are a lot of people that may not understand the term forever. Forever means forever. And so the truth of the Lord is going to stand regardless of what happens in Washington, regardless of what happens with the truth that's being brought out in the DOG, Doge committee, and what Elon Musk is finding. Ladies and gentlemen, truth still stands. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, published the book called 1984. That was published in the late 40s. And Orwell projected as to his thoughts and philosophies as to what America would look like by 1984. In part, this is what Orwell said. Now, keep in mind, he was simply a secularist. I'm not advocating his philosophical position on morals and ethics and values. But he said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's precisely what is happening today. Truth matters regardless of where you are. Truth matters regardless of what state you're in. Truth matters regardless of what ethnicity you have. Truth matters regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, whether it's the Democrat or Republican. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said, America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint said. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. And yet the latest survey shows that the millennial age group, referred to in this article as younger Americans, headline says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. The article opens with a statement from Webster's Dictionary. It says, Webster says, truth is the body of real things, the body of evidence and events, facts, actualities, the state of being the case in fact. But yet, in this same research article, it says 55% of the millennials say that each person determines their own version of truth. May I say that's one of the greater problems today? You can listen to what the Democrats with hair on fire are saying now. You can listen to what those that are rejecting President Trump, those that have the Trump's syndrome, if you please, you can listen to what they're saying. And you understand that many people today have their own idea of what is truth. You can claim your own truth if you want to, but you can't claim the facts. The facts speak truth, and a half truth is a whole lie. I go back to the 15th century theologian, church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's what I believe God calls on us to do, is to seek the truth, love it, live it, learn it, tell it, live it, and be willing to stand and defend it. You know, I've never been satisfied in my mind. I've never been able to grasp the reality of what takes place so often with individuals. But just like when the Lord Jesus was arrested, all of his disciples ran and hid. I find it today disconcerting when those that will stand for truth, when there's a challenge to the truth, when there's a challenge to what you're standing for, then those will seek to find a place to hide as though they're not willing, in fact, an evidence, they're not willing to stand for truth. I find that disconcerting, yet that is the reality of it. But we need to seek truth, love the truth, live it, tell it, and be willing to stand for truth regardless of the consequences. I believe God calls us to be salt and light. Part of that salt and light is standing for the truth. Truth shall prevail was what Jan Hus screamed as he was being burned at the stake for standing for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators. And Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen. They can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Do you believe we need to have ethics and values and morals in the government that's over us today? Ladies and gentlemen, our world, listen, our world is changing. World, not just America. Our world is changing at a tectonic speed. Our world is changing every day. We're witnessing that change in America also. Ladies and gentlemen, the state of affairs in D.C. today are good evidence of what is taking place with the changes. You wake up each morning saying, what happened last night? Who's in and who's out? Who's being investigated now? What else has Doge found out? Who else is running with the hair on fire? Who else is making the accusation and the claim that President Trump is destroying our democracy? Ladies and gentlemen, I get so tired of hearing that. You've heard me say before, let me say it, the risk of redundancy. We are not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. A democracy is where mob rules. And if the Democrats, Socialist, Marxist, Communist Party has their way about it, we're devolving rapidly into a democracy where mob rules. That is not who America should be. Ladies and gentlemen, we hear the cries of the Marxist media and the fearful Democrats. Why are they doing that? Why are the Democrats so enraged today? Why are they pulling their hair out and screaming epithets toward Elon Musk and Donald Trump and others that are leading out in the different capacities, the head of the FBI, the head of the NIH, the head of each of the departments, the DOJ and DHS, et cetera, et cetera. Those new heads, ladies and gentlemen, they've been placed in office, confirmed by the Senate and placed in office, elected, if you please, appointed by President Donald J. Trump, but put in the position to do exactly what President Trump said that he would do in his election campaign. He said he's going to clean up America, said he's going to drain the swamp, said he's going to remove the fraud that's taking place in every department. And that's exactly what we see him doing. I'm looking at a headline that says, panic over Doge work now hits Democrats at the state level. Democrats at the national level have been in the panic mode ever since President Donald Trump was elected the second time and took office. Why else would there be nonstop claims that he's more or less an Adolf Hitler who wants to destroy our democracy? He's, in fact, living out democracy now by doing a cleanup job at the federal governmental level that is just exactly what he promised the voters to do when we chose him. But now that the panic is hitting Democrats at the state level as Trump's Department of Government Efficiency, run by billionaire Elon Musk, uncovers what has been going on. Is there now that officials are insisting on a halt to any more investigations? Calls for accountability and more. Democrat state attorney generals seem to want to shut down any further review of waste, fraud, and abuse in the government. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's 22 attorney generals across America filed suit against Donald J. Trump. Cumulatively, we heard on the fake, false, phony Marxist media news, we've heard about the, well, so-and-so filed suit, DOJ, another attorney general in such-and-such a state filed suit. They're not telling you, they're not announcing to the general public when judge after judge after judge refuses to hear the accusations or cancels the case. Headline, judge rejects request to block DOJ from accessing government data. A group of state attorney generals wanted the Department of Government Efficiency blocked from assessing government data as the case proceeds. federal judge turned down a request from a group of state attorney generals to block the Department of Governmental Efficiency, DOG, from accessing data in seven government agencies, finding the state had not met the bar for relief, end quote. And it's about a 5-6-7-page article, ladies and gentlemen. But the bottom line is, some of the judges are realizing that what Trump is doing is constitutionally correct, and therefore they're not wanting to jump into the fray and try to stop it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll make one or two more statements. We're going to talk about the DOGE, DOG, and what's being done there. We're going to talk about the investigation that they're going to do at Fort Knox. Is the gold really there? Have they trucked the gold out? And then, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about AI. And I believe, listen, let me just give a little precursor to where we're going. I believe that artificial intelligence supersedes any concern that any citizen ought to have in relationship to DOGE and or the uncovering of fraud, waste, and abuse in our nation. I believe we're faced with a much greater, a much more devastating, a much more in-depth events and things that can undermine and destroy the integrity of America, and not just America, but around the world. And that's artificial intelligence. We talked about it on the broadcast yesterday with great depth. We're going to touch on that in closing the broadcast today, where we're going, and what I believe is the most dangerous threat to America. It's not DOJ. It's not fraud, waste, and abuse in our financial system, though that is mega major, and we're going to see the results of this cleanup very soon. That is all well and good. It is not, listen, the most dangerous thing is not even electing people like Eric Swalwell or many of the others that are socialist Marxists that's in our governmental system. The most dangerous thing is not AOC that went into office not even able to pay a $1,900 lien that was against her because of not paying either taxes or some other bill. I don't remember what it was. But now I understand that she's worth over $20 million. That's bad. That's not the most dangerous thing facing America and the world. The most dangerous thing facing America and the world is the artificial intelligence and the leapfrog that it is taking to the point where it is highly possible and majorly probable, even by Elon Musk's own statements, that within the next year, the artificial intelligence can take over and control human beings, end quote. We'll get to that article a little later in the broadcast. I'm looking at an article that says this. Democrats have been caught staging protests. Soros, that's George Soros, funded groups, organized Democrat activities and activism to storm Republican town halls, according to the Free Beacon. Here's what they're defending. $7 million to an ocean conservancy, nonprofit, that Democrats, Senator Whitehouse, and his wife worked for or worked with. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest problems or the greatest fears that the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party has at this very moment is that DOGE will uncover their little pet projects, their side organizational groups, their nonprofits that they have running on the side that's raking in hundreds, if not hundreds of millions of dollars from the federal government every year based on how they vote and what they do without any care, without any concern about the waste, fraud, and abuse that harms the general public. I believe this is the major thing that has them fearful. It's the thing that should be causing fear and anxiety in the state of Florida, where I understand the governor has just said that he's wanting to have DOGE for the state of Florida, where there's an investigation, there's an analysis, uncovering of waste, fraud, and abuse in every department of government in the state of Florida. And there's a move, even right here in Duval County, there's a move to have DOGE in our city government, where we uncover what's taking. Do you realize right here with our city council members, 19 city council members, you'd be surprised how many of them own a nonprofit organization that's getting money out of the till of the taxpayers in Duval County. I believe we need to uncover it. I believe we need to put a stop to it. I believe there needs to be DOGE on an operating basis across America, every city, every state, as well as the federal government, to uncover waste, fraud, and abuse. Ladies and gentlemen, what is happening today is causing major abandonment of the domicile in the Beltway of D.C. I'm amazed at the number of articles that I've read and the stockpile for reading where people are fleeing D.C. Those that are being laid off, those that are being fired, those that are already seeing the handwriting on the wall, that are resigning, they're getting out of Dodge, as the old cliche goes. I believe it was Zillow, the major listing of residential and real estate properties, said that in D.C. alone, some 10,000 plus homes have gone on the market just in the past several weeks now. I believe it's going to cause a major recession in D.C. when it comes to real estate in particular. I'm looking at the headline. I'll read the headline. We'll open our telephone lines in for your responses and your comments. D.C. elites in full panic mode. Internet surface research has revealed what's really going on. Some of the research they're looking for online in relationship to what to do. Swiss banks, offshore banking, how to wire money. All of these have spiked in the D.C. area, indicating potential interest in moving funds abroad and getting out of the city. The article reads, under President Trump and Elon Musk intensifies efforts to eliminate corruption within non-governmental organizations, that's NGOs, and federal agencies. Earlier this week, searches on the Internet, like criminal defense lawyers, RICO laws, surged, gaining traction on social media, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to sit up and take notice and realize and recognize what is taking. Listen, let me just insert this. You've heard me say it before. I believe what we're witnessing today is the answer to the prayers of mega millions of American Christians, conservatives, and patriots, where we prayed intensely for God to intervene and put President Trump back in office in that November 5th election last year. God answered that prayer. We're witnessing now the answer to our prayers in asking God to put him in office to try to straighten the mess in D.C. out. He said that he would drain the swamp. He said that he would clean the sewers. That's what he's doing. And let me remind you, I'm looking at a meme, and it tells us what D-O-G-E stands for. Democrats officially getting exposed. D-O-G-E. Democrats officially getting exposed. I like that. That's exactly what's happening. I believe we have a caller on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, go ahead.
I tell you what, you hit the nail on the head, number one. But I wanted to ask two questions, well, three. Like you were saying about, I forgot the congressman's name that said that prayer's not in the White House, I mean, in D.C., mm-hmm. But it's just not him. It's just not him. It's a couple. Even rhinos. Okay, and number two, what Elon Musk is doing, I stand by what's happening, because they are going, like you said, the rhinos and the hell on fire. The Democrats, not the Democrats, but the Democrats, they are really going crazy.
They are. And by the way, by the way, it just came to my mind, Jerry Nadler is the one you were speaking of. Jerry Nadler is the one that back a year and a half ago now, when one of the other congressmen was standing on the floor at the mic, and they were talking about an ordinance or a law they were trying to pass that would open the doors for the sodomite agenda to be employed across the board. And the congressman was against it, one of them, and he was reading from the Bible what God's Word says about morals and ethics and values. And Jerry Nadler screamed out that the Bible has no place in the halls of Congress. And that's exactly how the Democrats stand today. And that's the exact problem. Kenneth, let me read a couple of blurbs, get your take on it. Headline says, America's founding fathers on morality and government. It's religion and morality alone. It is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can be secured and stand. The only foundation of a free constitution is pure virtue. That is John Adams, our founding fathers. Further, John Adams says, if thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not steal, were not commandments of heaven, they must be made inviolable precepts in every society before it can be a civilized and free nation. John Adams. One other, and I'll read this one. Without morals, a republic cannot subsist any length of time. Charles Carroll. Our founding fathers depended a lot on morals, ethics, and values. So with that being said, Kenneth, my question is, don't want to put you on the spot, but the question is it possible for America to have a good governance, a civil governance, and people that are doing what is right for the people, where there's no morals, there's no ethics, no values? And is that where we are today in American government?
Yes,
sir.
I'll tell you what, Dr. Youngblood, number one, they have not studied history. Even in the elite universities and colleges and everything, they have not really studied American history.
You got it. Right. Absolutely. In fact, Kenneth, I'll go one further. Got a dear friend of the family's that's a constitutional attorney, and he handles constitutional and commercial law. And he said in the law schools today, law students are not taught the Constitution. They're taught case law and how to build their cases to defend or to prosecute based on case law, but they're not taught the Constitution. I find that egregious. If we're living in a constitutional republic,
yes.
And yet we have our leadership, and those that most of the time are those that are elected in public office, they come out of a law background. If they know nothing about the Constitution, and they're going to go to Washington and craft laws that we the people are supposed to live under, that's a sad, sad, sad shame. This is the reason, by the way. I was so delighted to see some of the appointments that President Trump made for his cabinet. He didn't make appointments based on those that have been there, done that for 40 years, and that's all they know. He didn't do that based appointing people based on their drawing a salary out of the federal government or state government. He selected those that have morals, ethics, and values. In my opinion, now I would disagree with some of their doctrines and some of their theological persuasions, but I'm thankful that he's put fresh people in office, that he recognizes the need for change in the right sense, putting morals at. In fact, he's the only president that I've seen that has now put into place a study committee and an executive order to prevent bias against Christians and churches and those with morals, ethics, and values in America. I'm thankful for that, Kenneth.
Yes, I tell you what, and Ronald Reagan was the same way. I got to give him his props.
That's right. We need to keep praying and asking God to continue to give President Trump strength and wisdom and, most of all, protection.
Yes, sir.
Because of what he's doing. But, Kenneth, thank you so much, brother, for your call. You're spot on with your stand and what we're doing. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're asking the question today. Morality and ethics and values in government, is that something that we should seek? Is that something that should be asked for or sought without any equivocation? I'm looking at a statement from Benjamin Franklin. Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters over them. Benjamin Franklin. Another statement that is made by James McHenry. In vain, without the Bible, we increase penal laws and draw entrenchments around our institutions. Bibles are strong entrenchments where they abound. Men cannot pursue wicked courses and at the same time enjoy a quiet conscience. James McHenry. Those founding fathers, ladies and gentlemen, spoke highly of the need for morals, ethics, and values in our nation. We've seen those morals, ethics, and values being depleted, becoming obsolete, and as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing danger on the horizon. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.